This is the Joe Gaither Show on BamaCentral.com.
Good morning, Tuscaloosa. Good morning, Tuscaloosa. Internet world, West Alabama, how we doing today? It's a football Friday right here on the Joe Gaither Show. We're live in the Derek Daniel State Farm Studios. You're watching us on the Bama Central YouTube channel, the Bama Central Facebook page, listening to us on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Amazon, Red Circle, wherever you get your podcast, B-U-B-B-L, Bubble, you can find the Joe Gaither Show on Bama Central. We're, as we said, live in the Derek Daniel State Farm Studios, right here off of McFarland Boulevard, ready to talk about Alabama and South Carolina for the final time. Get you ready for the Crimson Tide going over to Columbia to take on the Gamecocks. How are you feeling about Alabama's road woes? Are they all settled? And won the last two times on the road. Are you still feeling ghosts? Are you still feeling nervous? We'll take voicemails at 205-462-7340, extension 800. We've got a couple voicemails, a couple predictions from our man Dax, and we got Henry Sklar on the voicemail machine as well after his strong performance last week. So we can't wait to get into that. Of course, we have Mason Woods right here on the other side. Follow him at MAWoods_ on the Twitter machine. We're going to be joined by Hunter DeCiver and by Katie Windham. So we're going to have a whole big crew right here on a Football Friday. But first, I got to tell you that the show is brought to you by Strength Roofing and Siding. When severe weather strikes, your roof is your home's first line of defense. Storms with high winds, heavy rains, and hail can cause serious damage that isn't always visible from the ground. At Strength Roofing and Siding, we specialize in storm and hail damage, roof repair, and restoration across central Mississippi and Alabama. Providing fast inspections, expert repairs, and insurance claim support to help you recover quickly and protect your home. A professional assessment from a trusted roofer is essential. With over 45 years of serving Alabama and Mississippi, Strength Roofing and Siding provides expert storm damage, roof repair, and replacement. Call them today at 205-858-9050, and they'll send somebody out today to come check out your roof. We've had Zach Guffey on for the last couple of weeks. Look forward to another couple of weeks with Zach. Call him. He'll come out to your house, 205-858-9050, with Strength Roofing and Siding. With that, Mason Woods, good morning. How we doing? Did you survive the Will Reichert optical illusions last night? You were probably watching NBA now that you're into that.
I actually was. I didn't really pay. I had both of them on mute. Didn't really pay attention.
Didn't hear the funny part with Al Michaels.
I saw the clip of that this morning, which I love that Al Michaels at this point in his career is just kind of resigned to, I'm old, I can do what I want, nobody's going to say anything, because that's exactly what that was to me. Was like, I mean, he basically told us, like, yeah, the NFL wants me to cover that up, but that's not what happened. He did hit the wire. You know, for anybody that did not know, on last night's broadcast, I guess Will Reichert kicks a field goal and makes the field goal after missing the one in London last week.
He missed one right before half, too,
yeah.
Though.
Oh, yeah.
Missed one right before half, came up like 2 feet short on a 54-yard field goal.
That's tough, especially with the way the NFL's going right now. That was something that I always kind of thought was an issue with Reichert, was like, I don't know if he's got that super leg, but then, you know, he made some long kicks at Alabama, and I thought he maybe put that to bed. But
yeah, it doesn't help if you hit the ground first, Will.
Yeah. But anyway, yeah, in London last week, you see the replay of the kick from an alternate angle, not from the broadcast angle, and you can pretty obviously see it hit either a camera wire or, you know, some sort of something, whatever it was, a wire that is above in the stadium, above where all the players are, you know. And very quickly after seeing that video was no longer to be found anywhere on your social media pages, because the NFL and all of their goons back there got it taken down. And then, yeah, you fast forward to last night's game, Will Reichert kicks another field goal, and now Michaels just chimes in with, you know, he makes this one, no wire in sight or something like that. The NFL says,
he came back and said, they're trying to take my lunch money. They want me to correct they said he didn't hit it. It's an optical illusion. Yeah. And he said, but that's not what Will Reichert thinks. Yeah. As he made some short kick.
Crazy. Kind of goes in line, and we're Football Friday, so we can kind of be all over the place today, I guess. But comes in line with the rumblings this week that everybody's seen with the ESPN show or whatever, where the guy said, well, you know, we'd love to show some Big Ten highlights, but due to some directives from the people upstairs, we can't do just that. And everybody, of course, is taking that as, they're telling them to hype up the SEC. And it's like, hey, folks, you know who, you know, media rights are a thing. And why would Fox give ESPN all of the highlights from the games that they aired on their networks? So, you know, a little critical thinking is sometimes necessary, maybe.
Well, everybody's gambling on everything, so.
God, that too.
And everything's
fixed. Man, it's been a week.
Yeah, absolutely. So let's keep the week going on a Football Friday by asking our friends Hunter DeCiver and Katie Windham to step in and join us. You can follow Hunter DeCiver at Hunter DeCiver on the Twitter machine and Katie Windham at Katie Windham _. And speaking of Katie Windham, we want to encourage you to go out and find Crimson Flame on the social, on all of the podcast platforms. She's recording weekly talking about Alabama women's athletics, and her latest episode is talking about how she got involved in sports. So if you're looking to get involved in sports or find some inspiration, go ahead and subscribe to Crimson Flame on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Amazon, wherever you get your podcasts. You can find Crimson Flame. And of course, you can find it right here on the Bama Central YouTube channel. With that, we'll start with you, Katie. Good morning. How are you? And how's the podcast life going?
Good morning. I'm good. It's pretty good. My biggest issue every week is even though Zoom compresses the video file, when I edit it in iMovie, iMovie is doing something in the back end that makes it like take up 12 gigs of storage on my computer. And I have like 12 gigs of storage left on my computer. So editing the podcast each week is an adventure on what do I have to delete on my computer this week?
Well, we can look at that this weekend, see if we can't get it smaller when we are over in Columbia at some point.
Maybe an external hard drive could help too.
Yeah, but that's too much. You're
really
right.
Like, the thing is, there's not even that much stuff to put on an external hard drive. Like, this is a me problem. The biggest thing taking up space on my computer is iMessage.
Oh, that well, we just got to go to the oldest chat right there and start deleting the oldest chat.
It's pictures and videos within the text, like recent people. And like, I go through and delete those a lot too, but it just, anyway, enough about my storage issues on my phone and computer.
Go out and find Crimson Flame, because it's taking a lot of, it's taking Katie some heavy lifting to make sure that it actually gets on the podcast platforms and on the Bama Central YouTube channel. Hunter Cyber's been watching Crimson Flame each and every week. Good morning, Hunter. How you doing?
I'm excited to be here. I'm looking forward to tomorrow and talking about what's going to be happening.
Hunter, you haven't been with us in a while. It's been since maybe before the football season started. So give us a life update. How are you? How do you feel about this for this football season? You've been on every road trip so far this year for Bama Central. You can follow Hunter at Hunter DeCiver. He went to Florida State. He went to Georgia. He went to Missouri. So how do you feel about Alabama's performances on the road? Because I think that's the main thing that everybody's thinking about this week as they're going to South Carolina. Alabama fans are seeing a less than stellar South Carolina team, but I think there's still some trepidation with Alabama going on the road. So why don't you lead us off today by talking about how you think Alabama has really performed on the road? I mean, you were with us at Oklahoma last year as well. I believe you were with us at Vanderbilt. You went to Tennessee last year. So like, you've been riding with Kalen DeBoer on the road for two seasons now. How you feeling about this weekend?
Yeah, I mean, well, you go back to last season, going on the road was possibly Alabama's kryptonite. Thank you very much.
I've seen the comments everywhere, Reddit, YouTube, Twitter, Facebook. They've been like, where is Hunter DeCiver on the
trip? I got to be here more regularly.
I'm glad we can.
That's right. Everett Osmer chiming in on Facebook. You can chime in on Facebook. We love Hunter and everyone else. Continue, Hunter. How we doing?
Thank you so much. Going back to last year, you could argue – the worst thing about Alabama was their abilities to play well on the road. You lose to Tennessee, you lose to Vanderbilt right after beating Georgia, you lose to Oklahoma. I mean, something was wrong. I don't know what it was, but then you fast forward to this year. First game, we're thinking, oh my God, Alabama really struggled on the road last year. Lose to Florida State by multiple possessions. And we're thinking, uh-oh, here we go again. And then just a switch kind of flips. And then they've now beaten four consecutive teams that were ranked, the first SEC team to do that ever without any buys. And two of those games are on the road against Georgia and Missouri. So, I mean, whatever they've done, they've clearly fixed it from this year to last year. And now you're going to South Carolina. I mean, going into this year, when we were writing our opponent previews, I was thinking, oh, my God, this could be like a little bit of a trap game because South Carolina's at home. We know what happened last year with that game when they were here, and just Alabama's history on the road. And then they're the number 14 team in the AP poll. And then everything kind of goes off the rails for them so far this season. So I'm not really extremely worried about this road factor this time around. Obviously, that can come back to bite me. But based off what we've seen so far this season, I don't think it'll be a tremendous factor. But obviously, they've been listening to Sandstorm at practice, so they might be a little bit used to it already.
Over under, Katie Windham, how many times will we play Sandstorm on the way over today? I'm going to say 2.5.
Oh, on the way over?
Got to get those numbers up.
I'm going to take the under.
Under? Okay.
I would all right. take the under, yeah.
It's a 4-hour trip. We got to make sure that
we're
staying away. Yeah, you're right.
To Augusta. Yeah.
It's 4 hours it's only, after
it's a
Bucky's.
4-minute song. That's plenty of time to get it in there. You know, you can.
You think which member of the football team, Mason, is the techno head?
I we've been talking about this like this whole week.
It's Wilkin.
Maybe. I don't think any of them like know this song. It's older than many of these kids are. Like this may have been their first exposure to this song was like this week. I mean, you know, a lot of people kind of know it from like the meme quality of it being used for years in the background of like COD montages and things. But I don't think that these kids really lived that same life. They were like 5 years old when that was happening. You know, we were of internet usable age, but I don't know that many of them are super familiar with Sandstorm. Unfortunately, because it's a great song.
Are we old? We are old.
Yeah, we're old.
World. Katie, how are we feeling about Alabama going on the road? We may have just lost her.
No, I'm still here. I'm just
okay. All right, just checking. She's blowing her nose. She's checking her other things. How do you feel about Alabama going on the road? Because I see the South Carolina team, and I don't see a good football team, but I am not settled yet with Alabama's ability to go on the road. Yes, you went to Missouri. Yes, you went to Georgia. But I still think that a stinker is possible.
Yeah, I would say I like actually feel good, and that's I feel like a little concerning. But I think it's the main thing. The main reason why is what you just said is I don't think South Carolina's good. But last year they lost to Oklahoma on the road, who was not very good. They lost to Vanderbilt, who was 6-6 last year, and obviously you know Vanderbilt's having a great year so far this year, and won some big games last year, but. They lost last year. They lost to Michigan in their Likewise Bowl, who was not good and didn't have most of their star players. So it's like they've shown us they can lose. They will lose to teams that aren't good. I just think, though, that this team is different. And it is interesting, though, a lot of points I've either heard brought up on other shows this week or seen on Twitter about some of the issues with Alabama that they've had but have kind of been able to overcome by the turnover margin. Every week, I think that's kind of how you get into a stinker, dangerous game on the road is you just have some wild turnovers or just some bad decision turnovers and give them some extra possessions and get the crowd into it. But, like, I think this team is just kind of been finding ways to win. And maybe this is the week that, you know, we see them finally hit some deep balls or that we see them get the run game going a little more. We see them finally stop the run. I don't know. When you look at last year, it's kind of funny hearing the coaches talk at the beginning of the week about how hard Lenore Sellers is to tackle. And people have brought up the comparisons to KJ Jefferson when Saban talked about him. But like Alabama did a pretty good job stopping him last year. And then, you know, South Carolina's given up a lot of sacks, which listening to y'all's guest yesterday, which apologies to him, I can't think of his name right now, but he was talking about some of those sacks or, you know, him just really trying to make a play and holding on to the ball too long. And then also I think they've had a banged up offensive line. So I think it's an opportunity for the D-line to or the front seven to get some sacks or not just the front seven. Alabama brings blitzes from the back end too. But, you know, it can be I think this is kind of going to be the ultimate prove it to us that you have figured out how to win on the road, how to get up for every game on the road, how to win against, well, I say they lose to bad teams. Florida State now is looking like a very bad team that they lost to. Hasn't won an ACC game yet, I'm pretty sure. So, yeah, they've shown that if they don't get up, it's not like in the old days, 5 years ago, with Saban, that like if you play bad, on the road against, or if you play bad in general against an unranked team, the talent gap is still so large that you're going to win by 3 touchdowns. It's not like that. Like if you play bad on the road, and make a lot of mistakes, like, you're going to lose. So, like, it's possible, but, like, I think this team has figured out ways to win, and I think this week will kind of ultimately prove whether they've gotten over that mental hurdle of, like, okay, yeah, we're going to get up for every road game, and we're going to play our best, and we're going to handle business.
Mason Wood, you're our resident Ty Simpson criticizer. I'll ask you about – I know. We'll ask you about something Katie just said that's kind of popped up on the internet sphere lately. Alabama's inability to throw the ball deep. Are you concerned about it? What do you think about the passing game as a whole and how it's developed through 7 weeks? Obviously, you have apologized seven times about the summer takes. And look, a talk show needs somebody to say, oh, you're wrong. It may not be as good as you think. So you were serving that role very well. But you've seen people, well, they haven't hit the deep ball. Well, they haven't hit. Oh, you can't get over the top. What do you think about Alabama's passing game through seven games, 8 weeks, and how it's developed, and the fact that, yeah, there really hasn't been the 70 yards over the top shots?
I mean, it's, you know, look, the football fan in me wants to just say, like, yeah, throw the ball deep. You got three first-round receivers right there on your football team. But, like, I just don't really know that Alabama has needed that in most of the situations they've kind of found themselves in offensively. You've been able to control the tempo of a lot of these games with how you've moved the ball so methodically down the field that it almost would mess up the rhythm of things to say, let's take a deep shot and, you know, have a three-play drive or we go 80 yards or whatever. I just don't know that the situation has really called for it. I think the opportunities are there. I mean, you look, what was it, back to the Georgia game, I think, on that very last play of the game when they do the little pass to Jam out there to get that first down. But you had Quavis wide open for what would have probably been a touchdown. He maybe gets chased down because he's a tight end, but, like, he's wide open streaking down the field, and Ty Simpson just makes a decision to say, let me just get the play that we need rather than push it downfield when we don't really need a touchdown here. So I think the opportunities are there. I just don't think the situations that the offense has been in really, really call for it. You haven't found yourself down a lot of points much, really, at all. You haven't really been in a hole offensively where you just need those chunk plays. So I think if you need it, they're there. I just don't think you've needed them.
I think that's right. I think go ahead.
Interject or
yeah, please.
I think, yeah, I agree. Like, obviously, they haven't needed it. They've won six straight. They've been able to control the clock in most of those games pretty, like, heavily. But it's like, I think my dad put it well after the Tennessee game last week. So you look at that game, and a lot of times the offense was not good. This offense has really been like feast or famine. Either they're having like a 9-minute drive or like they're not doing anything.
Yeah.
Because they're having these long drives though, because they're getting to third and long so often because they can't run the ball on first and second down. They're trying to run it on first and second down. They get no yards or negative yards. So you're looking at third and 12. And then Ty Simpson's great on third down, so they convert, which is great. But then, like, the drive becomes so long that, like, and that can be a good thing, and obviously that can be a way to win. But I think you still do want to have that ability to have that quick play, that way to punch somebody right back in the mouth when you've, you know, gotten punched. And I think, obviously, the wide receivers on this team are capable of that. And, like, yeah, I don't know if they probably won't need that to win this week either. But I think it is the points. I think it was Rodak that was bringing most of them up. Just want to give credit to him if it was like the Grubb and DeBoer offenses have in the past feasted on the big play. And I think Jalen Miller, that was one of the things he was best at as a passer, was the explosive play, the big play down the field. And so it's just different because obviously Alabama's quarterbacks before that, Bryce, Tua, Matt, like on all those wide receivers were tons of big plays down the field. So it's just like it is. You're like you sit back and think and you're like, yeah, there haven't really been any big long explosive touchdowns in the passing game this year. We've seen plenty that the defense has given up rushing, but we haven't seen a lot of passing on offense that way.
Hunter, we'll drag you into the conversation by asking you about the running game, because Katie is right. You have been in third and six, third and eight, third and nine, 12s, because you can't get the running game going at all. Really, you haven't gotten it going at all is too harsh, but you haven't really got it going. South Carolina's run defense, very, very bad. They're right there with Alabama this season. Will this be the week that Alabama gets something going on the ground, takes a little pressure off Ty Simpson in that passing game?
I mean, we've waited several weeks now for a run game to emerge, and it still hasn't happened. Obviously, Jam has been hurt for about half those games with various injuries. But even when he was back, he hasn't really done much. I think he only had about 1.52 yards per carry last game, something like that. But someone to just kind of keep an eye on as someone who's kind of filled in for him a bit is Daniel Hill. This bruising back. He was, when we were looking like at the depth charts, if you will, it would be Jam Miller. But then when Jam Miller was out, Kevin Riley was the surprising starter after a week or two. But then Daniel Hill was right behind. And it seemed like Daniel Hill's getting more and more carries. And against a poor run defense versus a bruising running back, I could see him having a pretty solid day. I wouldn't say he's going to get over like 70 yards, but I think, yeah, he could have a solid day.
All right, so let's do this. Let's go to our voicemail line. We've got a couple of voicemails right here. We'll play them, then we'll start to react to what they have to say. I'll read us an ad for Derek Daniels State Farm. We'll do three keys to watch. I'll read another ad for Strength Roofing and Siding. We'll do three players to watch after that, and then we will pick all our games for the weekend. So you guys can join us on the voicemail line at 205-462-7340, extension 800. Let's find out what our friends have to say.
What is up, guys? It is Dax. Happy Football Friday. We have got the good old Fighting Lenora Sellers is up tomorrow. Okay, this is the ultimate trap game. As long as the coaches did put rat traps around the facility, we're going to be fine. But there has been a ridiculous amount of rat poison out there this week.
Rat poison.
Even the South Carolina people are thinking they're going to get blown out. I, for one, do not think that's going to be the case. So we're scoring 35 points per game. They're scoring 20. We're allowing 17. They're allowing 20. We're at 422 yards a game. They're at 297. We're at 309 allowed. They're at 336. 297 passing yards per game, and they're allowing 186 passing yards per game, which, you know, that's not that bad. I think they're, what is that, fourth in the SEC in passing yards per game allowed. And then we're rushing for 125, and they're allowing 106. No, they're allowing 150. They're rushing for 106, and we're allowing 154. I hope we can get the run game going. Jam is actually back for like, and Jam's actually been practicing for a week. We can all see what missing a week of practice will do to you, aka John Mateer in Texas. I think it's a road game and it's an unranked team. So. It's going to be a close one. I think Ty's going to throw for around 280, 300, maybe three or four passing touchdowns. I think Jam's actually going to get back on his high horse, and Jam's going to rush for it. I think Jam will cross the 100-yard mark again. I really do. And it's going to be Kevin Riley and Daniel Hill at the 2A and 2B. But here's the hard part. I'm going to go ahead and give y'all my three players to watch. So right now, I've got Yonde Pierre had his breakout game last week. I think the player to watch for me on the defensive line is going to be LT. LT's actually going to have to get to Lenora Sellers and get him down. It's not going to happen much, but I think LT's actually going to break out this game. And then in the linebackers, I'm going with Justin Jefferson. It's going to be another big game for him because his sideline to sideline speed is so fast. He can beat anybody to it. He's going to have to do it, too. I promise you that one. And then on the offense, Lotsier Brooks is due for a big game. Lotsier Brooks is due for a touchdown. How does he not have a score yet? He's got plenty of yards, but nothing to show for it yet. Man, Lotsier Brooks just keeps getting better every game, and I think he's going to bust one for like 65, 70-yarder touchdown. That's my three players to watch is LT, Justin Jefferson, and Lotsier Brooks. I think we are going to win the game. DeBoer always finds a way to win the game, as we can see from his Washington tenure. They were somehow they kept finding ways to win. I think we're going to win it in a close one. It's going to be 35-31. I think South Carolina is actually going to put some points up because Nick Harbor is going to get the ball, and he's a matchup nightmare, and it's not fun. So, South Carolina, this is their Super Bowl. They're already out of the playoffs. This is the biggest game of their schedule. They're going to be up for it, and there's no question about it. Love you, boys. Bama 35, South Carolina 31. Dad.
How's it going, guys? Joe, Theo, good to, you know, make my appearance back on the show in a little different form this week. But before I get into my three players to watch and my keys to the game, I just wanted to say, Last week felt absolutely amazing, outpicking my fellow intern, Theodore Fernandez. Now, if you guys tuned into the show last Friday, which I think everybody listening today.
And hold on before I keep going with Henry. You can have your say in your piece, but we want to wish Theo a good weekend. He texted me last night. I'm dealing with strep throat. I can't make it. So we just want to say well wishes to Theo. We'll let Henry keep dunking on him.
Probably tuned in. You know that I, Henry Owen Sklar, 20 years old, junior at University of Alabama, picked Yanjay Pierre, Ryan Williams, and Dijon Lee as my three players to watch last week. Oh, boy. Yanjay Pierre, 3 sacks. Ryan Williams, 5 catches, 87 yards, 0 drops, huge catches. Dijon Lee, some struggles here and there, but overall he played pretty well for a true freshman in a big game. Yeah, I'm going to give myself an A-plus on last week. Theo, man, all I got to say is step up your game, man. It's getting lonely at the top here, at the top of the intern totem pole. But, yeah, currently I'm actually in Colombia visiting a friend. Hopefully I'll be getting a ticket and going to the game tomorrow. Super excited to, you know, see how that atmosphere plays out. And, yeah, I'm going to get right into it. My three players to watch. Starting out on offense this time, last week, we saw this player have a big touchdown late in the game. So I'm going to go with running back Daniel Hill, sophomore player, getting some more burn after Jam Miller coming back, scored late. I think he's going to, you know, have another score potentially. So we'll go with Daniel Hill. Second of all, not going to go for a layup again with Ryan Williams, but another player in the receiver core who I think is going to have a big day. Lassier Brooks, you know, he had a big game last week. He's really been stepping up greatly for a true freshman. But I just don't think South Carolina has the depth in the secondary to, you know, focus on all of Alabama's receivers at once. So I think Lottie Dottie is going to have a big day. And defensively, I think Justin Jefferson is going to have a big day in that linebacker room. And, yeah, super excited to be in Columbia. Definitely a, you know, a trap game. It is Cocktober, as they like to say. Up there in South Carolina. But I think Alabama is going to roll here and continue their SEC streak of domination. Final score, 41-17, Crimson Tide. Appreciate it, Joe and Theo, and have a great show. Talk to you.
Well, I recorded that voicemail before the availability report came out, and now Lotzier Brooks is listed as doubtful. So... of course, I'd pick him as my player to watch, and now he's doubtful. So, which means there's a 25% chance he'll play, but you know what? I'm going to go ahead and change the Lotzier Brooks player to watch to Isaiah Horton. Yep, Isaiah Horton's going to have a big day. Roll Tide.
I thought I'd made it out of the woods.
Oh, there you go. There you go. No, you're welcome. Look, our callers can pick whoever they want to. We can get a clean slate if you like. You can, but let's go right into first, thank you very much, Dax, for calling. 205-462-7340, extension 800. Thank you so much, Henry, for chiming in, even though you're already on the road. And I do want to give you your flowers. This is probably the third time I've given you credit for last week's picks. Great job for that. And nice picks again. Daniel Hill, you picked Lotzier Brooks and Justin Jefferson. Let's move right into the availability report, and then we'll hit the three keys to watch. Last night on the availability report, Lotzier Brooks gets hit with a doubtful. Daniel Hill gets hit. Danny Lewis gets thrown without, and Gino Vandermark was he listed as probable or questionable? He was on he was added to the list as well. So you had three guys added to the list. Hunter DeCiver, any concerns with Gino Vandermark, with Lotzier Brooks, and I guess with Danny Lewis?
Yeah, so first with Gino, he's been starting most of the season, and he started last week as well, but we got to see a lot more of Jaden Roberts finally, and he looked pretty good. So even if Vandermark is limited, I think Jaden Roberts can get done a bit. Moving on to Lotzier Brooks. On Wednesday's initial report, he was nowhere to be found. Same with Lewis. This is a common theme for Alabama and DeVore, where they'll just throw in some surprises the next day or something that wasn't discussed during the press conference. But anyways, if he's doubtful, and I'll go more into it during my three players to watch, Rico Scott should probably get the bump on more snaps. figure you got Horton, Bernard, and Ryan as the starters. But then the first guy off the bench, we were saying all offseason that it's probably going to be Rico. And while it looked that way after week one, Ozier kind of took that role. So then there's him. And Danny Lewis, he has one catch this year so far. I wouldn't really worry too much about it. Josh Cuevas has been Alabama's tight end, and he's kind of been that sole guy there. I mean, you've had a couple guys rotating in and out overall, like Caleb Edwards, but Josh Cuevas seems to be the main guy, and then Caleb Edwards is right there. So I'm not really too worried with Danny Lewis out for this one.
Kenny Windham, any concern with Lozier being listed as doubtful?
I don't think it's necessarily like concern. I think that's probably not great. Like if it's some sort of long-term injury, which obviously we have no clue because of course DeBoer said nothing about it, which it could have had happened at practice yesterday. I haven't heard anything about his injury.
The online rumblings is sick. Illness.
That's what I saw too.
Yeah. Which like there are like you said, Henry has strep. I know people that have had COVID, tonsillitis, strep the last couple weeks. So there is a lot of sickness going around. And when you're a college kid, it could just,
he got the freshman flu.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It'd just be that. But yeah, I think they have, I mean, it's been well documented, well talked about that Alabama has one of the deepest wide receiver rooms in the country. So I think for this week, they're fine. I think you don't want it to be a long-term thing, which it sounds like it's not. So yeah, I think like Geno has started, I think 6 of the 7 games. They have other options. That's been their whole thing in offensive line. It's just rotating all year. But I think he was too listed as like probable. So I would guess he's probably available. And then Danny Lewis. Yeah, I think we've seen him getting a couple more reps, but I think the offense will be fine without these players this week. They have enough depth.
Well, let's get right into our three keys to our keys to the game. Doesn't have to be three. Could be one or two or five, whatever we like here on the Joe Gaither Show on a Football Friday. We want to remind you that the program is brought to you by Derek Daniel State Farm. We're in the Derek Daniel State Farm Insurance Studios. You can call Derek for your insurance needs at 205-758-3391. He's got three great employees upstairs waiting to take your phone call. Red, Lane, and Bobby would love to talk to you about your auto insurance, your homeowner's insurance, maybe some life insurance for you guys. You want to update your life insurance. That's really one of the best gifts you can give your loved ones, is making sure that you do have proper life insurance. So call them today at 205-758-3391. It could save you a lot of money on your auto insurance. Saved me some money, saved Theo some money already. So make sure you give them a call today. You want to have a local agent who you can call when things go bad. As if you've listened to the program for a while, you heard I had an issue in the summer. Hunter remembers we had a tree fall on the house. Derek Daniel got an electrician out there, got power back on, got lots of help really taking care of us in that situation. And a situation that stressed me out only lasted about a day and a half, thanks to Derek Daniel getting everything back online. So you want to have a local agent who knows the people to call, who can send people to your house or send people to your car accident. Because, look, bad things will happen. It's inevitable in this life. You will have trouble. So call Derek Daniel at 205-758-3391. Call and see how much he can save you today.
This Black Friday, get 6 months free when you move your WordPress sites to Kinsta. Enjoy faster load times, no stress when traffic spikes, and hosting you can actually count on. We're G2's number one rated host for WordPress for a reason. Visit kinsta.com/BF. That's KINSTA.com/BF. Don't miss out. Offer ends December 2nd.
All right, let's get right into it. Hunter DeCiver, let's start with you. We've missed you so long, so give us your keys to the game for Alabama going over to South Carolina.
Yeah, one of the main things I've written over the past several matchups is, can Alabama contain the running quarterback? Because this was a massive kryptonite of them last year, against Jackson Arnold, against Diego Pavia. Even Nico Iamaleava had a couple good runs that game. And then fast forward to week one, Tommy Castellanos has over 100 yards or somewhere around there. But then as the season's gone on, they seem to have really progressed in this area. I mean, Gunnar Stockton was a bit neutralized. Diego Pavia, after running for like 60 yards in the first quarter, he didn't really do anything after. And now you got Lenore Sellers, who's considered one of the best dual threats there is in the country right now. So I think attaining the QB is probably the top priority. I mean, I won't divulge if someone has Deontay Lawson as their player to watch, as one of their players to watch. But for me, I mean, for containing the run, we're yet to really see Deontay Lawson have this unbelievable game yet. Two-time captain. I mean, I think this could be a big game for him to break out of his shell a bit. You're looking at some of these mock drafts that are starting to come out, some of these big boards. And I mean, Mel Kiper is kind of one of the more well-known guys, if not the most well-known. And he wasn't even listed as a top 10 inside linebacker. So obviously he's not playing this game for a draft stock necessarily. At least that's what he'll say. But I think containing Lenore Sellers, one of the best dual threats in the cube in the country, could really help out with him today on Saturday.
There we go. Hunter Seibert hitting us with a master key, containing the quarterback this week against South Carolina. Katie Windham, Alabama goes over there, 2:30 Central Time. 11.5 points favorite is what I see it. So what are your keys to the game for the Crimson Tide?
I think this is any game, but especially any road game. Something I already talked about earlier, and this team is very good at, but it's winning the turnover battle, which I think this past game was the first time all year that they have not won. They didn't lose it. It was 1-1. But I think we saw a pretty bad turnover by Alabama last week. And so that kind of stuff can really pile up on the road. I like Hunter's key. And then I think I'm going to go with another key I've talked about for every road game so far is no special teams blunders. You gotta make your field goals. You can't drop any. You can't muff any punts. You can't let them have a punt return for a touchdown or a kickoff return for a touchdown. So I think that would be my second key. And then I think third would be, can you get the ground game going against a defense that does not have a strong run defense? Can we see a running back run for more than 5 yards a carry against an SEC opponent? Like, which I feel like maybe someone did.
Jam against Ben.
Oh, against Vanderbilt? Yeah. Mm-hmm. But then since then, it just hasn't.
That's been it.
Yeah, it hasn't been great. So, I think you've got to have, yes, Alabama's won 6 games in a row, but if they want to have postseason success, you've got to have more of a balanced offense.
Jam went 6.2 against Vanderbilt, and that's, I think, the whole season high.
Yeah, probably.
Against a Power 4 opponent. I don't care what they did against ULM.
Yeah.
Mason Woods, you're up. How many? Let's hear those keys jangling. What are your keys to the game for Alabama?
Through the list I've got here that I kind of jotted down just as we were getting ready to get into the segment here, I've had a couple of them taken already, but I'll go with what I've got still. And first off, I think the most importantly, and you know, maybe it kind of goes along with Katie's winning the turnover battle, but just controlling the ball and taking the crowd out of it. Say what you will about the South Carolina team this season, it's probably going to be rocking in Williams-Brice Stadium. They're going to have Sandstorm going. I think it is homecoming. It's going to be a big weekend there. The crowd, you know, if you can take them out of the game early, that only helps Alabama. So if you can put up some points early, if you can get an early stop and just kind of, you know, silence the fans there, I think that's going to help you a lot. And second, I think making South Carolina's offense one-dimensional. If you can take away either the run game from South Carolina or the pass, if you can force them to do one of those things, I think this team very quickly becomes not very scary. We've seen what their offense looks like when Lenoris is forced to just kind of scramble around back there and look for hero plays, and it does not look great. So I think if Alabama can do that in this game, you're looking pretty good. And then just to really continue on that same point, take advantage of a weak offensive line. Go get you some sacks this week. Go, pin your ears back and go get after the quarterback, because if you put South Carolina behind the sticks, this offense cannot recuperate from that.
I love it. So Katie Windham going with winning the turnover battle, no special teams issues, and getting the running game going. Hunter DeSeibert going with containing the quarterback. Mason Woods going control the ball, take the crowd out of it, making South Carolina's offense one-dimensional and taking advantage of South Carolina's bad offensive line. I think y'all are all over the game, and so we'll just keep going here. My key to the game is really just let South Carolina self-implode. You're just going to have to just play smart, play disciplined. South Carolina really, really bad in the penalty department, really, really bad on third down. Let themselves implode. And to Mason's point, I think you need to take advantage of this offensive line and put them in long yardage situations. You can do that and then win the turnover battle, to Katie's point. And just play plugged in. Play plugged in, because let themselves implode and play plugged in, because how many times have we seen Shane Beamer try something funky on special teams, to Katie's point? So play smart. If it's fourth and two from midfield, expect the fake punt. Expect them to be desperate. You got to handle their desperation. So I think being plugged in, being prepared for their desperation is probably number two. Number one, let themselves implode. You don't have to do much. Just kind of let them be a bad football team. Number two, be plugged in. I like Katie's get the running game going a whole lot, because I think that's really, really important.
You can have it too.
So I think I'm going to ride that as well, because I think if you can do that, then going back to the earlier conversation with not being able to hit some deep shots, not taking some deep shots, if you can get the run game going for 4 or 5 yards a chunk, well, then everything you're doing in the passing game is plenty. You just don't have anything going in the running game. So keeping Ty upright. So we'll adjust a little bit and just make it an offensive line point. Have a good game with the offensive line. Don't have Ty Simpson under pressure and open up some holes for the running back. So yeah, I'll adjust it to kind of an offensive line point. We'll go let South Carolina self implode, kind of win the penalty issues, because they've been heavily penalized. Be plugged in mentally, prepare for South Carolina's desperation, Shane Beamer's shenanigans, and then have a strong game with the offensive line. Is going to be my three keys for Alabama going over to South Carolina and winning. All right, let's go into our three players to watch. Before we do that, Hunter DeCiver, I want to let everybody know once again, we are presented by Strength Roofing and Siding. They're backed by 45 years of expertise, tens of thousands of roof installs, over 400 five-star customer reviews across the company. Strength Roofing and Siding offers our customers the highest quality materials, fast install times, and the market-leading extended warranties. Our Tuscaloosa-leading roofing experts provide expert residential roof replacement and comprehensive repair services for homeowners across the greater Tuscaloosa area. You don't have to just be in Tuscaloosa to take advantage of Strength Roofing and Siding. They can service all of the state of Alabama and into Mississippi. So call them today at 205-858-9050. You can have my friend Zach Guffey or some of his coworkers come over to your house, get up on your roof, inspect your roof, give you the peace of mind that you need for the upcoming winter and spring season. You know, the weather gets a little funky in the winter and the spring in the southeast, so make sure your roof is up to date and you have security in your home by calling them at 205-858-9050. Strength Roofing and Siding. Hunter DeCiver, who are you picking? Three players to watch. Who are you going to get your eyes on this weekend?
Yeah, so I've had these three pretty much set for a couple days. The first, well, actually, I should say a couple days, really last night, for one of them, with Lazier Brooks potentially being out. Rico Scott, as I mentioned in the show before, he's definitely a big player for me to watch. We've seen him make flashes throughout the season. As I've said, he has been discussed as the wide receiver four in the spring and in the summer. And he started out like that, and hasn't really been that way since. I think I could see a really big game for him on Saturday. And on top of that, we're talking about this whole thing with the deep ball. In that Florida State game, Ty was the one throwing to him. On those deep ball attempts that obviously didn't go too well, but I could see him potentially taking it over the top again. Next guy, I'm going to go with Michael Carroll here. Had his first start as a freshman last week, and now he will be going against, for a large portion of the game, Dylan Stewart, who is this All-American caliber edge rusher. He's a sophomore. He'll be a first-round pick in 2027. I think containing him will be the biggest key, at least for Michael Carroll and just this offensive line as a whole. I mean, we obviously know edge rushers, they'll sometimes switch around. So Caden Proctor will have to deal with Dylan Stewart as well. He did a bit last year, I remember. And I was talking to Caden, I remember, after the game last year against South Carolina, and he said that those were some of the best like edge rushers that we've seen. And they have another guy named Brian Thomas Jr., not to be confused with the Jaguars wide receiver, but That's another edge rusher for them. And then my third guy is going to be Dejon Lee. And it's not just because he's a freshman corner and he's starting again. It'll be his second time starting. But he'll most likely have a decent time shadowing Nick Harbor, who is also kind of like Dejon Lee in that he's this freak athlete that's super tall. And Nick Harbor, he was this five-star plus recruit, and we're yet to really see him take off. I mean, I think he's a junior now, so he's draft eligible. But sometimes when teams play Alabama and it becomes a close or an upset even, there's usually one player that like really, really shines that you wouldn't expect, and he could be that guy. And I'm going to cheat a little bit here just because we haven't mentioned him on the show yet. I want to go with the coach to watch, and it's on the opposing side, and it's Mike Shula, former head coach here. And he's gotten a lot of hate recently. I've seen videos of South Carolina students literally protesting on the streets of Columbia. And for a game like this against a former team of his, obviously it's been 20 plus years, but he's definitely someone to keep an eye on, whether it be wrinkles or just any sort of play that might confuse Kane Womack.
How good is Cam Newton to drag your butt to a Super Bowl?
If they go after and only put up like 10 points, are they firing Shula this week?
I don't know.
Exactly. Not.
4-3, call 2-yard route. That guy is driving me crazy.
He's the most passionate South Carolina fan to ever exist.
You're wasting the Norris. You're wasting the Norris.
Like, okay, buddy, we got it.
Take your headset off. I know you can hear me.
Oh, man.
Kenny Windham, who get us back on track. Who are your three players to watch for Alabama's game against South Carolina this week?
Hey, I mean, Mike Shula. Mike Shula team helped me fall in love with football in 2005.
Yes!
Hey, roll tide.
You know, no hate to him. And it could be, you know, he's just been saving his bag for the Alabama game. I'll
see. That's right.
Just be ready for him to cook this weekend. But my players to watch, I think first I'm going to go with LT Overton. He talked to us very openly, boldly in the offseason that he wanted to get double-digit sacks this year. He said that multiple times. He's at 3 right now through 7 games. So he's really going to have to turn on the jets in the last half of the season if he wants to get to double digits. And so this week may be an opportunity against a susceptible offensive line. So that's one guy that I'm going to have to watch. And then this is like obviously the most obvious guy, but Ty Simpson, I'm going to go with him because – I wrote a story about this week, and Grubb talked about on Monday that he had 2 throwaways. When I talked to Ty on Tuesday, he said he really should have had 3. I went back and looked at every incompletion he had, and I could only find 1 throwaway. And maybe it was a play that there was a penalty on, and it. But even that, I tried to find, and I couldn't find it. There was one that was like borderline, you could say he was throwing it away, but really he was still trying to make the play. And really there was a lot of times he was trying too hard to make a play that he got fortunate. And so I think – I don't know. You know, he was asked this week, how are you handling all the positive praise, the Heisman hype? I think it's like, and that, like when guys say, oh, I don't look at that. I don't look at the outside stuff. They're teenagers. They're 20-year-olds. They're on their phones all the time. Like, it would be impossible not to. And so it's just, can he keep making the plays he needs to make and not be trying to have that like Heisman moment, especially on the road and in a game that can maybe go sideways fast. So I'm going to go with Ty. And then kind of going along with that, a lot of our points about the run game, about not letting the crowd get into it. I'm going to go with Parker Brailsford just in the center of the offensive line. Can he kind of keep everyone steady in his role as a captain, as the center? Just he hasn't had, you know, any big snap issues this year, but just can he keep doing that? Can he kind of keep the offensive line steady? Can he help open things up in the run game?
I love it. Kenny Windham going with LT Overton, Ty Simpson, and Parker Brailsford. Mason Woods, who are your three players to watch this weekend?
I'm glad nobody picked this. Two of our callers did, but I'm going to roll with Isaiah Horton. I love the way that they have been able to get him more and more involved in the offense the last 3-4 weeks. I think it is only a matter of time before we start to see him really, really just make a huge impact on a game and, you know, have a breakout performance. And maybe this could be it. We will have to see. I'm going to go with Isaiah Horton first. My second pick, because Hunter took Michael Carroll, I'll take Caden Proctor. I think the tackles are important to watch in this game. You're going against some good edge rushers. You're going against a good defensive front. That will put some stress on you. And, you know, we're going to have to see if A, they can get the run game going because we haven't seen that yet. And B, can they keep Ty Simpson clean? And then my last guy, maybe a bit of a wild card here, but I thought he played maybe the best game I've seen him play in an Alabama uniform. Wasn't on the field a ton, but got more opportunities than we're used to.
Don't
last
do
week.
It.
That's Red Morgan.
Oh, yes. There we go.
Red Morgan. I loved what I saw from Red Morgan last week. I've been high on Red Morgan all offseason. I think he is a guy that has that Malachi Moore attitude of if they ain't wearing crimson, F them. Give me Red Morgan. He's a dog.
You got the Chauncey Billups X-ray vision on laptop. That was my number one player.
Oh, that's I hate that's. That. I know you thought you had a good one too.
Because yes. They're gonna put Nick Harbor in the slot, yeah. And Red Morgan's gonna say no. Yes, that's a yes.
Oh,
well done. You go. Who did you go with? Isaiah Horton, Jane Proctor, and Red Morgan. Oh, my. I despise you so much for that because I thought I had a great one there. Yes. Oh. All right. So I'll go with two and three, and then I'll come up with a third here. Number one for me is now not Red Morgan. It's James Smith. For all the reasons that Katie Windham said about LT Overton, I think is exactly in play for James Smith. You've got an offensive line in South Carolina that has struggled this year. James Smith has been been kind of bringing the emotional heat over the last couple of weeks, but his play has not always been as consistent. And Kane Womack kind of is basically saying he's flashed and left some plays on the table. We talked about it on Monday. I think I did a poor job outlining that in written form, but did have some good plays early against Tennessee, and then his play waned off a little bit in that matchup. I think that he stands to have a very big statistical game, and if anybody's going to be tackling Lenora Sellers, James Smith can do so. So I think James Smith is my number one player to watch now. Number two, I'm going back to our caller. I'm going back to Dax. I'm going back to Henry. Henry took Daniel Hill. I think Daniel Hill is continuing to assert himself.
He looked like Daniel Mountain last week.
Yeah, exactly. He was a wild card pick for me last week. I'm bringing him actually into the lineup. I think the Jam's still going to get the first little bit of run, but I think they're going to go to Daniel quicker than they did last week, and I'm looking forward to seeing what he can do against a South Carolina defense that has really struggled against the run as well. So I'm going James Smith. I'm going Daniel Hill. And, oh, Mason, I hate you so much because I thought I had three safe picks here.
I almost picked James Smith, and in my head I was like, you know what, Joe wrote that thing this week. I'll let him take James Smith.
Okay, all right. I appreciate that. We'll stay in the secondary. The player that I scratched down and then took off my list because Xavien Brown. Because I think Xavien, I mean, golly, what a play last week. But when Nick Harbor is not in the slot, he'll be on the outside. And I think that Xavien's going to be on him quite often. And look, I just think that South Carolina, not that good. So, look, Lenora Sellers is going to give you a lot of chances to get the ball. I think Xavien Brown's ball skills are very good. I'll take Xavien as my third. I'll take James Smith. I'll take Daniel Hill. And I'll take Xavien Brown.
I do have one honorable mention to throw out there, and I don't really know what we're going to see from this player this week. This is really just kind of a personal thing for me. I want to see him this week. I want to see what we get from Damani Jackson because, I mean, you've just been wally-pipped by a true freshman, basically. Are you going to step up? You know, because it's not like you're going to be benched this entire game. You will be on the field Saturday. So are you going to take advantage of your opportunities and maybe take that job back from a true freshman? Or are you going to cower away and just let Dejon Lee run wild on the defense? I will be interested just to see what plays out there.
We love it. We love it. So those are the three players to watch. I'm going with James Smith. I'm going with Daniel Hill. And I'm going with Xavien Brown. Katie Windham going with LT Overton, Ty Simpson, and Parker Brailsford. Hunter DeCiver going with Rico Scott, Michael Carroll, and Dejon Lee. And Mason Woods going with Isaiah Horton, Caden Proctor, and Red Morgan. Let's finish this program up. Let's kind of go rapid fire for our picks. We want to remind you we're brought to you by Strength Roofing and Siding and Derry Daniel State Farm Insurance. We're going to make our picks. We're looking through the slate. We'll start with 11 a.m. Ole Miss is at Oklahoma. Hunter DeCiver, you taking Boomer Sooner. 5.5-point home favorites.
5.5 home favorites. Really? Oh, I was gonna take Ole Miss.
Feel free to
do it.
Yeah, I know. Yeah. But I'm just surprised that they're favored. Obviously, being home helps. But I mean, Ole Miss is on a roll. I mean, obviously they lost to Georgia last week, but their quarterback looks real good. I think they definitely come back against Oklahoma this week.
I'm going with the Sooners. Too much drama around Lane right now.
I'm right there with you, Katie. Give me Boomer Sooner in this one. I think we saw just a little bit of mental weakness from Ole Miss in that game against Georgia last week. You came out hot, you started off well, and then second half came around, and you looked like a different team. I think that maybe snowballs a bit this Saturday, and obviously combined with what you mentioned, the reports of Lane taking whatever job it is across the country, I think Ole Miss is maybe due for a rude awakening on Saturday.
I'm with you as well. Oklahoma is going to have a pretty strong game. Lane Kiffin to Florida, to Auburn, to any job in the world. Penn State, exactly. It's too much for them to overcome, to shut out the noise. I think I'm going Oklahoma as well. Still at 11 a.m., Hunter DeCiver, number 18, South Florida, is going to Memphis. South Florida is a 6.5-point road favorite. Memphis losing to UAB last week. They ruined what was going to be an undefeated American matchup. You going with the Bulls or the Memphis Tigers?
Yeah, I mean, it goes one of two ways for Memphis. I mean, A, you either dominate after falling to UAB or you crumble. I don't really see it being a close game, at least if Memphis wins. But, I mean, the fact that they lost to UAB, I'm going to go with USF here and Byron Brown.
I'm going with Memphis. Bounce back game at home.
Yeah, this one's kind of a toss-up. I really don't know who I want to go with here. I do love Byron Brown. I love UAB. I mean, USF. I love Alex Golish. But, man, I do weirdly just kind of feel like, given these two teams, this is a spot where Memphis probably bounces back. And, you know, I just think that conference loves beating each other up. So give me the Tigers in this one. Give me Memphis.
I'm going with USF. Whoever hires Alex Golish wins. Yeah. We're going at 11:45. Hunter DeCiver, a terrible, terrible game in the SEC. Apparently bad weather on the way in Fayetteville. Auburn is at Arkansas. Does Hugh Freeze start to save his job, Hunter DeCiver? Arkansas is a 3.5-point home favorite.
I love how when you say terrible game, in my head I immediately knew that you were going to say the Arkansas game. But I just think, I don't know, based off what Arkansas has been doing this year and obviously what Auburn's been doing this year, and I guess with weather impending, it could be a bit of a sluggish game, but I think Auburn's going to take this one.
Give me the Hogs. They've been so close in their games with Bobby Petrino's interim. It's in Fayetteville. I feel like there's all the weird bad blood between the two, like all of Hugh Freeze's connections with Arkansas. I think he's ready for that buyout, Arkansas.
Yeah, I'm running down the list here. I mean, it's a one-score loss to Ole Miss, one-score loss to Tennessee, one-score loss to Texas A&M. They are going to beat this Auburn team handily.
Yeah.
I think they – give me Hogs by 10-plus.
It's going to be crumble fest, and they're going to be looking for where's Deuce Knight by the end of the game. Yeah, I'm going Arkansas as well. 2:30, game day is in Nashville, Hunter. Missouri is at Vanderbilt. So Alabama's beaten both these teams. Alabama served both these teams their only loss. Missouri is at Vanderbilt. Vanderbilt is a 3.5-point home favorite. You taking Diego Pavia or Eli Drinkwitz?
Yeah, I mean, Missouri kind of crumbled a bit when they faced Alabama last year, and it kind of created a downward spiral a bit for them. And I could definitely see it being the same thing this time around. I mean, they've been home like this entire season. Now they're finally on the road. I don't know if they'll be fully ready. Not saying that Vanderbilt's environment is necessarily like LSU or Tennessee or Alabama, but
it'll be rocking.
Yeah, give me Vanderbilt in this one.
I'm gonna go Vandy as well. Just stick with my home team theme, and I got to watch a decent amount of that LSU Vanderbilt game since Alabama's game was at night last week. And what they've done with that stadium, it seems more legit now. I've seen a lot of – I think because of our Vanderbilt site, I get a lot of Vandy stuff on my Twitter feed, and I've seen a lot of stuff this week. So, yeah, I'm going with Vanderbilt.
Yeah, we're rolling doors this weekend. Give me Commodores. I think they win this game. I think, you know, to me it kind of just comes down to maybe the quarterback position here. I don't trust Bo Prabula as much as I trust Diego Pavia. I think – against Alabama, Prabula showed some, you know, I mean, he's not a freshman, but he showed some, like, you know, young player qualities, some inexperienced qualities in that game. And I imagine that maybe shows up a bit on Saturday. You know, it's probably a close game, but late mistake from Missouri probably seals it for Vandy.
Yeah, anchor down. I'm going, you know, Diego Pavia is just going to continue to stir Nashville up.
To turn.
But
Heisman campaign continues.
Clark Lee will keep everybody elevated. They balance each other so well. Diego's going to like really lean into the college game day stuff, and the place is going to be on, you know, nuts for Vanderbilt's sake. We're going to anchor down. I would skip this game, but it's an SEC game, and Texas has looked horrible against bad teams. Texas is going on the road to play Mississippi State, Hunter DeCiver. Texas is a 6.5-point road favorite. Are you taking Steve Sarkisian still calling plays?
Yeah, and I think they'll cover it too. I mean, we're waiting for Texas to really show itself. Mississippi State was terrible last year. They started off excellent this year, but they're kind of getting back to a little bit of what they were doing last year. Not nearly as bad, of course. But, yeah, I'm taking Texas in this one by at least 14.
Woo. I'm sticking with my home team theme. Jeff Levy gets his first SEC land. Texas almost lost to Kentucky last week. Like, this Mississippi State team is probably very frustrated, disappointed that they lost to a team. The coach still got fired because I think they should have won that game probably last week in Gainesville. So, and I would guess the stands will probably be like 60-40 with a bunch of Texas fans there just because it's their first time playing there. And it's probably easier to get tickets there than other places in the SEC. But yeah, why not? Why not Mississippi State?
I like Mississippi State in this one too. I think it's the difference between these two teams is Mississippi State. That's a bad football team that's playing well. Texas is a good football team that's playing bad.
Horrible.
Give me the bad team playing good. They got nothing to lose. They're at home. Arch isn't going to be able to hear him his own self think. Yes. I like Mississippi State in probably a gross gutty win. Yes. Like, but yeah, give me Jeff Levy's signature win here. Well, I guess he already got against Arizona State, but. Give me a big SEC win here for the Bulldogs.
God, I think you and Katie might be right, but you know what? I can't do it. I'm taking Hook'em Horns, Texas. Yeah. We'll gut it out and figure out a way to win. 6:30 on ABC, Hunter DeCiver, probably the matchup of the weekend in the SEC. Yeah, sorry, Missouri Vanderbilt. I like the Texas A&M going into Death Valley. Will Texas A&M prove themselves to still be for real? They're 7-0, 4-0 in the SEC. They played the SEC bottom feeder so far. They continue playing bottom feeders, maybe, with LSU. 6:30 on ABC, Texas A&M is a 2.5-point road favorite, Hunter DeCiver.
Yeah, this is kind of like the battle of the two teams over the last few years that start off really good, and then when they get their first big test, they flop, and now they're playing against each other. But I mean, being in Death Valley, obviously, it hurts a bit. They're one of the biggest stadium environments there is, but I don't know. I'm going to take Texas A&M here. I'm liking what Marcel Reed's doing.
I feel like what Hunter just said, like A&M always like just finds ways to start crumbling, but then LSU just was like not looked great, and it seems like things are getting a little toxic down there for Brian Kelly. So I'm really torn on this one. This is probably the most torn I've been so far, but I think I just can't trust an A&M, so I'm going to go with LSU.
Katie, home teams all across the board.
I think, yeah. I'm right there with her.
Opposite all YouTubers me. Yeah.
Until I see it from Texas A&M, they will continue to be the team that is good and then crumbles about halfway, you know, to maybe the back third of the season or so. They just crumble. They do it every year.
Every year.
So give me LSU in this one.
Da-na, da-na, na.
Yeah. And this opens the door for Vanderbilt to return to the SEC championship conversation.
Oh, gosh. Mike Elko, are you going to Penn State or not? We'll see if that distraction is too much of a distraction. Don't they have Le'Veon Moss is probably still out. Didn't they lose one of their running backs for quite some time? I think it was Le'Veon Moss. Ooh. But I'm going LSU, there's no reason you should pick them after last week, but I think I'm going with Katie and with Mason. I'm taking the Bayou Bengals at night, at home, to intimidate Marcel Reed and all that. So I'll take LSU in a close game. All right, so let's go even faster here. Tennessee at Kentucky, because who cares about Kentucky? Hunter DeCiver, Tennessee's an 8.5-point road favorite at 6:45.
Yeah, I'm taking Tennessee. They bounce back after what they did after they lost to Alabama.
Taking my first road team, Tennessee.
Yeah, I'm probably rolling with Tennessee too, but it'll be a gross game, I think. Kentucky has a weird knack for doing that.
Yeah, I'm with you there, Mason. So all of us on Tennessee. And here we go. Last game for us and the most important game for us. Bama Central is going to be in the stadium at 2:30 on ABC. You can find us, Alabama Crimson Tide on SI. You can find us in the stadium at Hunter DeCiver, at Katie Windham _, and at Joe Gaither 6. We'll be over there tomorrow. Columbia, South Carolina, Alabama going on the road to take on the Gamecocks. Hunter DeCiver, I have Alabama as an 11.5-point road favorite. Give me your final thoughts on the game and your pick.
For starters, I think they do cover that, meaning that I think Alabama does win. The players that I said to watch, I think, will play a huge factor. Obviously, that's why I picked them, but I think them especially. But when it comes down to it, I think stopping Lenore Sellers from running the ball and getting to that second level with an honorable mention of Deontay Lawson. I think he's also a major player here. And if they do all that, I think Alabama wins, let's say, 35-17.
Excellent. Katie Windham, final thoughts on your pick?
I'd said a couple weeks ago on the show that I wasn't going to pick this team on the road till they proved me wrong or proved me right. I don't know what it is, because I picked them at Florida State and got egg all over my face, picked them at Vanderbilt last year. But I think they have proven to me that they can do it. So I think the South Carolina team is not good. I think they are going to be playing for their season, but I am going to pick Alabama to win and cover.
Steven Garcia ain't walking through that door. Give me the Crimson Tide. I mean, give me Alabama big. We'll go like, say like 42-13.
Woo! I like that. I like that. I think it'll be a little closer than that. I think that South Carolina, I think Mike Shula will have a trick or two, but not enough.
That's for the 13. You know, okay, they missed the extra point.
I got you right there. I'm going to take Alabama because I do think they were going to get the run game going a little bit, because I think South Carolina's defense is really, really bad up front. A little better in the secondary, but not good enough to cover these Alabama receivers, even if Elijah Brooks is sick or has something else going on and doesn't play in the game. I'm going to end up taking Alabama at what's the number, Joe? I can't go. I keep going between 38 and 42. We'll go 42. We'll go 42, and I think South Carolina's offense is at a 20. Yeah, I think it's going to be 42-20. Alabama wins comfortably, and everybody's happy going into the bye week, having dreams of SEC championships and playoff performances and top three seeds. We'll see. So, yeah, I'm going 42-20. Alabama, all of us taking the Crimson Tide, all of us taking the Crimson Tide to cover. You can follow all the coverage right there on BamaCentral.com. Alabama Crimson Tide on SI. Hunter Seibert and Katie Windham and myself will be in the stadium. We'll be leaving in just a few hours to get over there. So we cannot wait to do it, and we cannot wait to be there. Thank you so much for joining us this week on the Joe Gaither Show. You helped us set some records. October now, best month ever. I really, really, really appreciate you guys so, so much for being a part of the show. Send the show to your friends on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Amazon. Follow the show on the Bama Central YouTube channel. We'll have a lot of coverage from Columbia on the YouTube channel. Katie, I hope I don't know if you saw it, but the pre and post game field access is nothing.
I'm interested to see how that works post game. I've never been somewhere with no post game access. So
we'll find that out, but we will have videos. We'll try to find the team walking into the stadium from the buses, the 10 feet walk from the bus to into the locker room. We'll try to find you some videos to watch on the Bama Central YouTube channel. And we'll see you in Columbia, and we'll see you on Monday right here on the Joe Gaither Show on Bama Central, BamaCentral.com.
Thanks for joining us on today's edition of the Joe Gaither Show on Bama Central. Keep up with Joe on all his social media pages at JoeGaither6. Subscribe, rate, and review the show on Spotify and Apple Podcasts, and be sure to read us daily at BamaCentral.com.